All right. Well, just going through some of these folks and revolving around the birth of Jesus Christ. Luke chapter 2 is where we are this evening. Luke chapter 2 and verse 25. And I'm going to look at a fellow named Simeon. Old Simeon. Luke chapter 2 and verse 25. Got a few verses on Simeon, just like you did with Anna. And give you three or four points about Simeon here. Luke chapter 2 verse 25 says this. It says, "And behold, there was a man in Jerusalem whose name was Simeon. And the same was just and devout, waiting for the consolation of Israel. And the Holy Ghost was upon him." Now notice how many times the Holy Ghost is mentioned and about Simeon in reference to the Holy Ghost and vice versa. Verse 26, "And it was revealed unto him by the Holy Ghost that he should not see death before he had seen the Lord's Christ. And he came by the Spirit into the temple, and when the parents brought in the child Jesus to do for him after the custom of the law, then took he him up in his arms and blessed God and said, Lord, now lettest thou thy servant depart in peace according to thy word. For mine eyes have seen thy salvation, which thou hast prepared before the face of all people, a light to lighten the Gentiles, and the glory of thy people Israel. And Joseph and his mother marveled at those things which were spoken of him. And Simeon blessed them and said unto Mary his mother, Behold, this child is set for the fall and rising again of many in Israel, and for a sign which shall be spoken against. Yea, a sword shall pierce through thine own soul also, that the thoughts of many hearts may be revealed." Let's pray, and I want to give you a few things about Simeon as it is and has his life corresponded with the birth of Jesus Christ, and several things about his life that are noteworthy. But let's pray. Father, I thank you for these words. Thank you for Jesus Christ. Thank you for salvation in Jesus Christ. Lord, I pray you'd feed us tonight. Pray you'd help us. Pray you'd give us some insight in these words and learn from a man with character and a man who waited with expectation to see the Lord Jesus Christ. And you fulfilled that for him and prepared him and led him in all that. And Lord, I pray that we would glean what we need to glean from these words and from this man that you've written about here as it relates to the birth of Jesus Christ. And I pray all this in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, Simeon here, if you want to, you could classify Simeon as a spiritual man, and you notice how many times the Holy Ghost is mentioned in connection with him. So over there in verse 25, the Holy Ghost is upon him. In verse 26, it's revealed unto him by the Holy Ghost. Verse 27, and he came by the Spirit into the temple, so he's being led by the Holy Spirit of God. And so it's just a lot of things in his life are... His life is characterized as being spiritual. And it's spiritual because of who he's looking for, how he's looking and waiting, and just the things he's chosen to occupy his time with. He is, I don't know how old he is. It looks like he may be fairly old. Looks like he's old enough to have waited a while and now ready to pass on, and now that he's seen Jesus Christ. And so there's three or four things here depending on how we divide them up, that are very, I mean, they're very useful, very instructional, that we can glean from his life. And the first thing I notice about Simeon is that he is looking for consolation, and the way he's looking, the Bible describes him as waiting for the consolation of Israel. But waiting is not necessarily like a passive thing. The Bible defines this waiting, it's like a, like you would say, a waiter, you know, someone who is actively serving, and that is their waiting. That's what they're doing. So here's how it defines and how it describes Simeon. So verse 25 says, "Behold, there was a man in Jerusalem whose name was Simeon, and the same man was just and devout, waiting for the consolation of Israel." So here is his waiting. It's characterized by him being devout, and just. So he is a just man, just like Joseph describes it, a just man. The Lord is described as just, and I think it's interesting. I'll just pass this thing on. I used to say this, and I don't say this anymore, but used to say things like, you know, God's justice is this thing and God's grace is this thing, until I read 1 John where it says, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins. I always thought of justice as God meeting out punishment, or basically balancing the books, so to speak. When evil has been done, he punishes it, or he puts it in its place so that the justice is meted out. But justice is more than that, maybe a part of it. But justice apparently also has to do with forgiveness. Like I just said, 1 John, he says, you know, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins. So forgiveness is a part of someone being just in their dealings, or equitable in their dealings with people. That if a person is repentant, if someone is broken in their spirit, then the equitable thing to do is to forgive, and then to, you know, let the thing go and offer forgiveness to the person. So here's Simeon. He's described as waiting for the consolation of Israel, and that waiting is not, you know, like watching TV or something. That's actually his service to God in the temple. He is an active participant in service, and he is just and devout, and that defines how he's waiting. So that's good to note. Simeon is looking for consolation. So here's what the Lord is expecting, or here's what he tells us to do, to wait on him. Occupy till I come, things like that. And so that waiting is not just, well, I know he's coming. That's not a passive knowledge that just, you know, something's going to happen. There's some activity to it. This is Simeon who is actively waiting by being devout, by being just in his dealings with people. And I would say that's part of his character, part of his person, that he has a higher authority than just himself. When someone is just, or put it this way, when someone is unjust, I think most of the time it's because they probably don't think they're going to have to answer to anybody. They don't believe that there's going to be a reckoning day for their own lives. But when someone is just in their dealings and equitable in their dealings, generally that means that they're answering to someone. They've got a boss. They've got somebody that's higher than them. And as a Christian, I mean, that's what we've got, obviously. But Simeon is waiting. He's devout. He's just. So Simeon is looking for the consolation of Israel. Next thing about Simeon, it says the Holy Ghost is upon him in verse 25. So he is a, I guess, going along with this isn't really the next point, but going along with that, the Holy Ghost is upon Simeon because Simeon is a welcome soul for the Holy Spirit of God. You could make the application. There are places that you probably feel more comfortable than other places. I mean, there are some places where you feel more comfortable to be, and then there are places you probably don't feel very comfortable being. And the Lord is, imagine having given us that part of our being, He has the same thing. There are some places that He wants to be in. Some folks that are inviting to Him are accommodating to the Holy Spirit of God, and other folks that are not accommodating to the Holy Spirit of God. Here's what the Lord said way back in Genesis 6. He says of mankind, right before He floods the earth, He says, My spirit shall not always strive with man. I am not going to fight these people their entire lives. I'm not going to argue. I'm not going to debate. I am not going to contend with this group of people, this world, forever. I'm just not going to do it. And so, obviously, the Spirit of God is not welcome. It's just a fight. It's just contentions. But on the other hand, Simeon is a welcome home for the Holy Spirit of God. He's a welcome place. He is inviting, as far as, if you could say it this way, to bring it down to our level, the Holy Spirit of God feels comfortable around Simeon. And so the Bible says the Holy Ghost was upon him. He's waiting. He's devoted. He's waiting for the consolation of Israel. And the Holy Ghost is upon him. All right, here's another thing. Verse 26, Simeon receives exactly what he's looking for. Verse 26 says, "And it was revealed unto him by the Holy Ghost that he should not see death before he had seen the Lord's Christ." Now, this is pretty neat. Here's a man, probably up in years, serving the Lord and waiting, and the Lord does something for him that He doesn't do for everybody. He gives Simeon a personal revelation that Simeon he's not going to die until he has seen what he's looking for. And I imagine, I mean, I know the Lord is personal, but you don't want to make it so personal that, you know, but along these lines, if you serve the Lord, there are going to be some personal things between, and a lot of personal things between you and the Lord that you and the Lord know about, and maybe even promises like this, maybe even just things that are the Lord just says, I'll do this for you, or I'll help you in this way, or something. I mean, just they're personal things between you and the Lord, and you know about him and he knows about him. And just like Simeon, who is a faithful servant to the Lord responds with all that and says, you know, you're not going to die until you see what you're looking for. This is sometimes how we get this thing backwards. We want God to work in our lives, and just think of it in context with this. We want God to do something miraculous in order for us to then believe what it is He's asking us to believe, or to further, I don't know, I guess believe is the right word. The Lord has laid the foundation for what we need. I mean, you have enough to believe the Lord right now. This is what I mean by getting it backwards. We want God to do work in our lives so that we can then commit ourselves to whatever He's already got going on. It's actually the opposite. The Lord is looking for someone to commit themselves to Him, and then He can start to pour blessings in that person. That's Simeon. It's not, I'm waiting for the Lord to do something big so then I'll know if I can commit to Him or not. No, the Lord's waiting for a commitment. He's already laid the groundwork for a commitment. He's already done everything He can do for you and I to commit to Him. And it's not that we're waiting, maybe we are, we're waiting, you know, for the Lord to do something big so we can commit. And here's the Lord waiting for us to commit so that he can start pouring into us what he wants to pour into us. What does he say? He says, trust in the Lord with all thine heart. Right? That's you and me. That's our obligation. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart. Lean not unto thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge him. And then he shall direct thy paths. Not he'll direct thy paths. And once he finishes doing that, then you trust him. And then you kind of figure out if it's the right way to go. No, you trust him. He's already laid the groundwork for you and I to trust him. And once we start trusting him and committing things to him, okay, now we're a vessel that he can actually pour into. It's a Simeon. Simeon has committed his whole life to serving the Lord and waiting for this. And the Lord says, here's a man who has committed everything he has to looking for the consolation of Israel. And so he comes to Simeon and he tells Simeon privately, personally, you are not going to die until you see what you are looking for. So that's the revelation he gives to Simeon. Simeon gets that, and it's personal. He gives assurance, and that's the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit brings assurance. He brings confidence. Here's another thing. Because Simeon is so devout, and because of his commitment to the Lord, he's able to be led by the Lord. Verse 27. And he came by the Spirit into the temple. So he may not have the Holy Spirit saying, okay, put your right foot in front of your left foot, turn right, turn left. That's probably not what's going on. But the Holy Spirit is directing his path because he's committed his way to the Lord. So the Holy Spirit is guiding him, and so he leads him, and after this promise of saying, you're going to see the consolation of Israel, the Holy Spirit follows up with leading Simeon to actually see the consolation of Israel. So it's not just a coincidence that their paths just happened to cross that day. This is all led by the Holy Spirit of God, and Simeon is able to be led by the Holy Spirit of God because he's already committed himself to the works of it. He's already done this. He's already trusted the Lord and committed himself to this. All right, so Simeon is led by the Spirit of God. I gave you the one of the best verses, one we just talked about, Proverbs 3, 5, and 6, trust in the Lord and all that, all thine heart, lean not to thine own understanding. All thy ways acknowledge him, he shall direct thy paths. But notice something else about this leading. In verse 27, it says, he came by the Spirit into the temple, and when the parents brought in the child Jesus to do for him after the custom of the law, then took he him up in his arms and blessed God and said, now watch what Simeon says, Lord, now lettest thou thy servant depart in peace according to thy word. So not only does the Holy Spirit guide Simeon to cross paths with the consolation of Israel, which is Jesus Christ, but he also, in all of that, the Holy Spirit gives confidence so that now Simeon is prepared for death. And I mean, that's a great application. Anybody who has trusted Jesus Christ, you know what you are? You are prepared for death. You're prepared for this body. In fact, probably a lot of us would say, good riddance, body. I'm not going to miss you any. And so here's Simeon. He's led by the Holy Spirit of God. He's committed himself to the Lord. And now he says, he sees Jesus Christ as a baby. And he says, Lord, let thy servant depart in peace. I don't have anything else to do here. I don't have anything else to live for. Let me go. I'm. This is what my life has revolved around, and now I have seen what I wanted to see. So he says, verse 29, Lord, now lettest thou thy servant depart in peace, according to thy word, for my eyes have seen thy salvation, And that's the truth. Once you see the Lord's salvation, you know what it does? It prepares you for death. I mean, the most prepared people are saved people. Paul says in the New Testament, I mean, he says, for we don't sorrow after the manner of some. We don't have the same sorrows. We have comfort. Death is an enemy, but it's not the end of anything. It's just the separation of the body and the soul, just separation of the parts. And you know, some of us can't wait for the separation. Just get rid of it. Get rid of the junk that's on the soul. Simeon's led by the Spirit of God. He's led through the shadow of death. Now he's prepared for death. He's seen Jesus Christ. And he describes Jesus Christ as a couple of things. Verse 30, for mine eyes have seen thy salvation, which thou hast prepared before the face of all people. Now here's how Jesus Christ is described. A light to lighten the Gentiles, and the glory of thy people Israel. So Jesus Christ is the glory of Israel. He is the, I guess you can say it this way, but Jesus Christ is the best thing Israel ever produced. He is the glory of Israel. And then on the other hand, he's also being the glory of Israel. He's a light to the Gentiles. So here's, we talked about this morning, you got these wise men from the east, and they hear about, and they have already read about, they've heard about the King of the Jews, and they come from the east, and they're looking for this light. And this is Jesus Christ, the light of the Gentiles. So, you know, I try to be careful about making too many, just chopping up the Bible too much, that sometimes guys can say things like God's plan was this way and then it changed, and then, you know, now he's got to deal with Gentiles. But the reality is, he was always going to try to deal with Gentiles. He was going to use Israel, Jesus Christ, the glory of Israel, to be a light to all the nations. And that's what Simeon says. He's the glory of Israel. The greatest thing Israel ever produced is Jesus Christ. And that glory is a light to the nations, to the Gentiles. And then last is this. I don't know if Simeon fully understood the death, burial, and resurrection. Daniel mentions a little bit of it in Daniel 9 about the prophecy of the Messiah, that he's going to die. But notice what Simeon says. Notice his prophecy. So he sees, he's devout, serving the Lord. The Holy Spirit guides him to cross paths with Mary and Joseph as they're taking baby Jesus to get circumcised in the temple. And he sees Jesus, and then he knows who he is, and he picks him up, and he takes the Lord in his hands, and he just, you know, it's a blessing now. Now I've seen what I've been looking for. And then he says this, verse 34. And Simeon blessed them and said unto Mary his mother, behold, this child is set for the fall and rising again of many in Israel. That sounds like he knows. He knows this baby, Jesus Christ, is going to die. But then he also knows that death isn't the end. He's going to raise up. Verse 34, Simeon blessed them and said unto Mary his mother, behold, this child is set for the fall and rising again of many in Israel, and for a sign which shall be spoken against. That's the resurrection. I mean, it looks like what he's talking about. Verse 35, yea, a sword shall pierce through thine own soul also. So even mom is not going to be immune to the gospel of the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. Verse 35, yea, a sword shall pierce through thine own soul also, that the thoughts of many hearts may be revealed. Paul said it this way. He said, according to my gospel, he said that there's coming a day when the secrets of men will be revealed. And he says, according to my gospel. Well, that looks pretty close to a death, a resurrection, and that sign, that death, burial, and resurrection being the thing that God would judge the intents and the thoughts of all of mankind based on. What are you going to do with the resurrection of Jesus Christ? Here's how Paul says it in Acts. He says, God has assured every man by the resurrection of Jesus Christ that Jesus Christ is coming again as a judge. And he uses the word assurance. He has given assurance to all mankind that he's coming again to judge the earth. Now some folks, they hear about the resurrection of Jesus Christ and don't do anything with it. You know what that is? You've been judged guilty in your sins because you've chosen not to put faith in Jesus Christ. You've chosen to just believe that there's never coming a day when these sins will be judged. I'm just going to get away with whatever I do. I don't believe in your God. I don't believe that he's going to judge. Your God's so mean and hateful. Why is he so mean to people? You know what the peculiar thing about the Lord is? It's just, you really see in the Lord what you want to see. People just really see what they want to see of him. I think I've said it before, but God is very much like a mirror to people in that he judges their hearts. And people, what they want to see out of God, that they'll see. If you want to justify your sin by calling God a tyrant, there will come a day then he will be a tyrant to your sin. I mean, he will judge your sin. On the other hand, if you're looking for the mercy of God, you know what you'll find in God? You'll find mercy. He is just almost like a mirror, just revealing the intents and the thoughts and the heart attitudes of people. So Simeon says, yea, a sword shall pierce through thine own soul, that the thoughts of many hearts may be revealed. That is the work of the Lord Jesus Christ. And so here is kind of an obscure fella in all this, in the birth of Jesus Christ, but I know I say it quite often, I think, but it really does fascinate me what God chooses to put in the Bible and what God chooses not to put in the Bible. Simeon in Jerusalem, who knows who Simeon is? Who cares who Simeon is? Apparently the Lord does. And this man has given his life to the consolation of Israel and looking for the consolation of Israel. Simeon probably doesn't make any newspapers who is he? It's almost like reading the book of Ruth, where God looks at a lady, Ruth, that you would have never know existed if God hadn't pointed her out. And the Lord, of all the people, and I think about, of all the things that God could write about or could talk about, you know, he doesn't spend any time talking about Alexander the Great. I mean, there might be one little piece of a verse in Daniel that says something about him. He doesn't spend any time talking about Buddha or Muhammad he doesn't spend any time talking about anyone else. And you find people like Simeon and Anna and Ruth, the widow lady, I mean the widow of Nain, I mean I forget, she doesn't even have a name, just the Shunammite woman. And the Lord says, here's a great woman. I mean, it's just, you and I, we would never have heard about these people. In high school, you would never study about these people because of the world. They're not great people. They don't have any qualities that make them acceptable to the world. But then the Lord focuses in and he spends some time on some characters and people and says, now here's some things that I find important. Here's some things about a man that I found important. Here's Simeon. And he describes Simeon and he answers Simeon's prayer. And he just working with Simeon personally and guiding his life and directing him. And somebody might say, well, it's consequence. I mean, coincidence that they just happened to be at the temple together. And it's not consequence. It's the Holy Spirit guiding him. But I found it so fascinating and instructive about who and how God chooses to explain and describe who he chooses to put in the Bible and in what light he puts them in the Bible. Simeon, he is a man that the Lord finds worthy to put a few verses in and to describe his life, describe his answered prayer, describe some characteristics about him. And it is just an interesting and a fascinating and an instructive, like I said, instructive little biography about a man who was around when Jesus Christ was born and found what he was looking for. It prepared him for death. The Holy Ghost was guiding and directing his life. And then he speaks the prophecy about the death, burial, resurrection of Jesus Christ and the way God is going to use Jesus Christ to eventually judge the hearts and intents of all mankind.